I read a scripture to Psalm 86, please. That's where we're going to be this morning for a little bit. Psalm 86. Normally, if you're visiting with us, we teach through the Bible here at Calvary Chapel. And every book in the Bible, line by line, verse by verse, we just finished up 60 sermons, if you will, over 60 Sundays in the Gospel of Luke. And we're taking a break, and I'm going to be teaching topical sermons for a while here in the summer as we're going to begin a series today. And so with all that being said, look at Psalm 86. David cries out there in his prayer. He says, "Oh God," he says, "bow down your ear, O Lord. Hear me. I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long." All day long. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for Tim and Sarah. Bless them, Lord, and keep them. And Lord, we just lift up all those who have there at the this just endured this horrible season of flooding in our state and tornadic activity. Bring healing and comfort and restoration to every family. We do give you thanks, O Lord, for breaking the drought in our great state that we live in. And Lord, we thank you for those that are going to be baptized today. And Lord, for the little Gabriel who's come into this life. We lift up, Lord, Erlina, who's been in the hospital, and also the I Am Terrell Kids Church, Lord, for the service after this service today, that many children would come to Christ. And Father, this morning, let me hold absolutely nothing back. It is my earnest and heartfelt, humble prayer, Lord. I look to no one else this morning but you. I look to the one who has saved me, the one who died for me, the one who has blessed me and Lord, cleansed me from each and every sin. I look to my Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is my prayer, O God, that every heart in this chapel, in the overflow room, those that are listening live, that their hearts would be in tune with the words that you have given me to share. Help me now, Lord. And again, let me hold nothing back. Use me completely. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, I want you to hold your place there in Psalm 86. I will be there in about 30 minutes, okay? No, that's really the truth this morning. This morning, we begin a summer series. Now, I don't know if the series will last 2 months. I'm not for sure. Maybe the whole summer, but we will be moving into the book of Acts by September the 1st. I have been praying and praying and praying, trying to understand the season that this church and the church or Christendom in America is in. And it's vital this morning that you really listen to what I'm about to say, because I have a lengthy introduction. I'm not going to go through the Bible like I normally do. I want to talk about defining illusion in the American church. And it's so important. You know, I grew up not knowing the Lord. And when I was saved at a young age, thank God for that. You know, Calvary Chapel is one of the greatest blessings that ever came into my life. And I'm so thankful, you know, when I started out, after I came to the Lord, I got connected to a Calvary Chapel, because that's how you grow when you go through the whole Word of God. And I remember this morning, as I'm talking about defining illusion, I remember there at the Calvary Chapel, Las Vegas, the church that Becky and we came out of. You know, if you, for example, and we're going back a lot of years, okay, before Thomas was born, you know, if you did not get the church on time, well, you couldn't get in the doors, because they would lock the doors. That goes over well today, doesn't it? In other words, they were serious about their worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we were packed. We started in a mortuary, and we moved from a mortuary to on the Las Vegas Strip in Nevada, loved one. Yeah. And it was a pornographic house, okay? and it was a horrible place, but we remodeled and fixed it up, and it was an incredible time. I remember my pastor, Pastor Pat. He would come in and he poured concrete in the day because, you know, he didn't get paid or anything. We were starting the church out. He'd come in his construction boots sometimes in those galoshes or whatever you call them, and they were still covered with mud and all the rest of it. And he'd come in and just get in the pulpit and start teaching God's word. And if you weren't there, if you weren't in your chair, you didn't get in. You had to go to the overflow room. I remember times when he simply walked up and stopped the worship and gave an altar call, and people would come forth and be saved. I saw hundreds and hundreds. And now that church, of course, when we started, it grew to thousands. And I saw the demonstration of the power of God, the Holy Spirit, the moving of God, like never before. And we are living in a time talking about defining illusion. We are living in a time today that the church is no longer about Jesus, especially in America. You say, now, Bill, what do you mean? I'm saying that today in American Christianity, it's really not about Jesus anymore. You know what it's really about today? Talking about defining the illusion that we're in. Today, the church is about me. I come up, what are you going to do for me today? You hear me? You better have the right program. You better have this. You better do da, da, da. And because you know what? If not, I'm not going to hang out here because you have to satisfy my fleshly needs. You know what? Back then, and I'm not trying to say they were the glory days, but you know what? We came in, we did not talk. We got into our chairs, and when the praise man, the band stepped up there, listen now, there was no flashing lights. There were no colored lights. There was no smoke machines, okay? You know, there was no glitter or any of that kind of thing that was going on. They got up there, and guess what? There wasn't one staff music stand on stage because they knew the words in their heart. And there was no words on the screen because you had to learn the words by your heart. There were no hymnals. There was nothing. And when we came in, we were serious about finding Jesus. And hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people came to the Lord. I look today and I see the programs talking about the illusion in the church today. I see the programs that we have. We have programs without power. Meaning the power of the Holy Spirit, not beating up any programs. We're so professional, if you will. You know, we have pastors, there's people that say, I just want a pastor who entertains me. Well, if you want to be entertained, you came to the wrong place. What you really want is a pastor who will lead you to the throne of grace. Because that's what it's about. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, listen carefully now, chapter 8, verse 5, it says, a wise man's heart, not his mind, his inner person, a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. Discerns when to do a thing, how to do a thing. That's what is needed today. Would you say that this generation of Christianity, the 21st century church, as we begin this series, would you say that we're not doing much in the discerning department? There's not a doubt about it. Every generation needs discernment. It says, for every matter there is a time and there is a judgment, though the misery of man increases greatly. And the reason that the misery of man increases greatly is because of lack of discernment, not knowing when to do a thing and not knowing how to do a thing. Proverbs 22:3 says that a wise man or a prudent man foresees evil or the evil day and he hides himself from it. But the simple pass on and they're punished. One of my favorite scriptures that I often go to and just ponder and meditate upon is 1 Chronicles 12:32, where it says, the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times that they lived in, understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Did you know that the sons of Issachar, which were the fewest in number, that was a King David's army, okay? About 200 incredible men there. And you know, they were in tune with God. They were in tune with what God was doing in Israel at that time. Would you say that we need to be in tune with what God is doing today in our time? Oh, yes. Listen, out of all the people on earth, wouldn't you think that the church of the living God, filled with the Spirit of God, supposedly having the mind of Christ and knowing God's will, don't you think that we ought to be able to discern what in the world's going on in Christianity? What's going on and what is God's will? The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, listen carefully. My purpose, John says, in writing is simply this, that you who believe in God's Son, and we do, will know beyond a shadow of doubt that you have eternal life. Listen carefully. The reality and not the illusion. I'm talking this morning about defining illusion in the 21st century church in America. Now, illusion defines is this. It says something that deceives by producing a false or misleading impression of reality. Pulitzer Prize winner Chris Hedges said this in his book, "A culture that cannot distinguish between reality and illusion dies." Let me say that again. A culture, a people, a nation, a church, the church, who cannot distinguish between reality, what is real, and illusion, what is false. If you cannot distinguish between them, it means death. Not a doubt about it. You see, church, listen. We used to be dead in trespasses and sins. And then God saved us. Amen? Jesus Christ became the Lord of our life. But when we were dead in sin and not knowing the Lord, what did we do? We went from one illusion to the next in this nation, in our lives, trying to find life, trying to find the fulfillment in life. But now we've been made alive in Christ. Now we realize that, and then all of a sudden our eyes are open to the world that we live in. We're going, oh, I don't love the world the way I used to love the world. And now we realize that all of us, we are literally living in a fantasy world, aren't we? Would you say America's a little fantasy world? Oh, come on, loved one. We live in a nation, America, that I love with all my heart. And we live in a world that is literally a playground of illusion. We have so many false paths, false ways, false ideas, false values. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:18, it says, foolish dreamers live in a world of illusion. Let me say it again. Foolish dreamers live in a world of illusion. Wise realists plant their feet on the ground. I should say on the rock, and that rock is Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Is the 21st century church able to discern between illusion and reality? That's so vital, what I'm saying this morning. You know, I believe that the greatest task this summer, the greatest task for Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, and I should say Christendom in America totally, is this. We must understand the time that we are in right now, and we must know what to do. And you say, well, Bill, how in the world are we going to do that? We're going to do that by, as we begin this series, this introduction here, we're going to do it by asking ourselves a question. How far removed are we from the true reality of the Christian life? We live in a time today when you can turn on the Christian TV, Christian radio, and they'll tell you, some of them, that your day's going to be perfect. Everything's going to work out in your life. There's not going to be ever any persecution. It's like, hello. You know what I mean? Come on. You know, you hear people say sometimes, hey man, how you doing? I'm living the dream, you know. Really? Well, it's an illusion if you're living the dream then. No, listen, American Christians, if you'll notice, see, we're so secluded in our thinking. We don't really worry what our government is doing, and we shouldn't worry. We should pray for our government. But we're not really connected to the life in America. We're connected to this and this and this, and this sports program or whatever we're doing. We're such a busy, busy people, but we may not be busy about the things of God. The reality has escaped us. We're living in an illusion. And today, more than ever before, especially in my lifetime, and I've lived a long time and I've seen many, many things. Listen, American Christians are literally shell-shocked. And I say that because of the explosions that are happening week by every week in the media, in the press, on the TV and news programs and so forth. I mean, just this week, listen to this. The Washington Post, listen to what they're saying. The end of casual Christianity. Pew Research, just last week I read this one, this article. Is Christianity in America doomed? How about this one? Millennials leaving the church in droves. I just read an article yesterday on the Christian Post, and it said this, that the millennial generation, now I didn't say this, they said this, okay, hold on. Don't email me. It says that the millennial generation in the church are the most selfish generation ever in history. Amen. I didn't say that. They did. Are you? You need to ask yourself that question. Here's another article I just read this week. U.S. Christians decline sharply. Would you, you know, you say, well, Bill, dude, you look at all these mega churches that are all over America. What's wrong with you? We're growing. No, we're declining. We're now a minority in our own nation. You say, well, how did all those churches get so huge? Well, it's called transfer growth. You follow me? They have things that are happening. I'm not against any of those. Thank God for them. But American Christians, listen, we are not only a shell-shocked people, but there's something else that's now happening like never before. We actually are feeling betrayed by the nation that we love, the nation called America. I don't have to go back 30 years or 40 years and mention when they took prayer out of schools. I don't even have to talk about that. I don't even have to mention the number one killer in America. Matter of fact, the number one killer in the world. It's not war. It's not disease. It's aborted babies in the world. Since 1973, America, just America, we have aborted nearly 60 million babies. And not only that, just this year, from January to May, as of yesterday, nearly 500,000 babies aborted in our nation. Why is that? Because our nation, meaning the people in our nation, are no longer Christian in their thinking, even though we say, in God we trust, or it's there in the capital, all the rest of it. No. You see, they no longer believe what God says in His Word. It says in Psalm 127:3, truly children are a gift from the Lord. They're a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Talking about little ones, little children, babies. Christians feel betrayed by our own people in Washington. You say, Bill, what are you talking about? Because they are passing laws after law after law, right this minute even, to silence the Christian. What do you mean, Bill? Well, did you know that 18 states now have called the employment non-discrimination laws. I read an article April the 2nd, 2015. Listen carefully. According to legal experts, such laws, meaning the employment non-discrimination law, such laws have been used to punish or otherwise clamp down on Christians expressing their religions, their religious views in the workplace or in the work settings. A business owner in Washington State was ordered not to play the Christian radio station at his own business because it offended one of his employees. That really happened. So that doesn't affect me. It does affect you. It's affecting our nation right now. And that's the problem. Christians are living in an illusion. They're not paying attention to anything that's happening. Most of the majority are not doing so. And I look at that and I say, oh God, what's going on? We love America, and we thought America loved us. But it's only an illusion. Next month, our Supreme Court, the highest court in the land, they are, even at this time, what are they doing? They're getting ready to pass their view. In other words, if they rule that same-sex marriage, if they say it's unconstitutional to ban it, that means it is a law across the entire nation. Think about that for a minute. That's what's happening right this minute. I wonder how many Christians are truly aware that that is occurring. You see, we live, the 21st century church, we're so secluded from reality that we live in an illusion. And think about Ireland. You know, that's where my family comes from. You know, my last name, of course, is Irish, it's Quinn, but we were actually O'Quinn, and when we came over here, we dropped it. The nation that my forefathers came from are the first nation on earth to vote, a constitutional vote, a referendum across the entire nation to make it constitutional to have same-sex marriage. And you say, well, Bill, that's just the way it is. Yes, it's the way it is because there's something happening, that we're living in an illusion. We're not facing the reality that we have. Pastor Thomas preached, but the Sunday before that, the last time I preached here in the pulpit, you know, I mentioned not in a caustic manner, but a very tender manner, I was talking about same-sex marriage. I was talking about how, you know, about the sin and the things that are going on in our nation. And during my sermon, I did notice that a couple got up and walked out. I think it was the first service. I can't remember. And I thought maybe it was somebody was calling them for go pick up their kid was crying or something. I don't know. And so after the service, one of the ushers came to me and said, Bill, did you happen to notice that couple that walked out during the sermon? I said, yeah, I sure did. I said, they okay? Was there something going on? He said, well, they were offended in you. I said, they were? I said, well, why? What did I say? And they said, you were coming against same-sex marriage. And I said, and they told the usher, they said, listen, we're believers, but we're pro-gay. And I said, oh, okay. And listen now, I don't ever beat anybody up that's in sin. I love people. I want every person. I don't care if they're, whatever they sin they're in, I want them saved. I mean, that's my heart. I'm not here to bash people. I'm here to see people healed and saved. And I look and I say, wow, what do believers want today? Do they want reality or do they want illusion? You see, the Bible says in Isaiah 30 verse 10, listen carefully, talking about Judah, when Judah's talking against the prophets, he says this, he said, they say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, listen to what they say, prophesy not to us what is right. Don't tell me what is right. Don't prophesy what's right. Speak to us smooth things. They want a smoothie religion. You know what I mean? Everything's going to be fine. Just believe it's going to be fine. You're never going to be sick. Your kids are going to, they won't even need braces in their life. You know, they'll never have a cavity. You know, they're going to grow up perfect. You know what I'm saying? No. Speak to us smooth things. And listen to what else it says. Prophesy to us illusions. Illusions. That is where we are right now. Do you think maybe that the 21st century American church right now, the Christians, are we becoming like Israel of old? Saying, I don't want to hear the supernatural living word of God. Tell me something that's going to make me feel good when I walk out of here. There's nothing wrong with that. But did you know that sometimes the word of God doesn't make you feel comfortable? Did you know that sometimes the Holy Spirit doesn't make you feel comfortable? Man, you see, but we want it to be about me. What I can get out of it. I'm not here for Jesus anymore. No. It's about me. You better give me what I need or I'll go find another church. I'll find another place. I don't want to hear what's right. I want to continue in my illusion. We live in a time. Take marriage. I have seen in my lifetime. I remember if you lived with another woman, and my father lived with a woman, and they were not married. In the 50s, loved one, their children would not play with me. You listen to me? People would not even talk to me. And I could go in to get school supplies down at Jack Collier Drug there in East Lancaster years ago. And I could tell what they thought of me. They all knew. Everybody knew. Well, you know, we've gone from that to where it doesn't matter anymore. In other words, marriage is now seen basically as, well, it's optional. I'll just live together. No big deal. And now it's even seen as disposable. I just don't like you. I'm going to get rid of you. And more than that, it's now only in our lifetime, never before in the history of the world, never. Marriage is now seen as redefinable. And I say, oh God, marriage is the oldest God foundation in the world. The oldest foundation of God in the world. Psalms 11:3 says, this. It says, if the foundations, plural, if the foundations be destroyed in the church, in America, in our nation, if the foundations be removed, what can the righteous, what can we do? Boy, that is a great question. Listen, we used to live, and I did, I lived in a time, and I'm not trying to go back and say if it was a glory days or any of that, but you know what? We lived, I used to live in a nation called America. But the old America that I knew is no longer here. It's gone. The new America that we live in is a nation of illusions. The old America, at least, believed in some absolutes, didn't they? Yes, they believed that's wrong and that's, this is this and so forth. And they believed in those absolutes. But now right and wrong fluctuate according to a man's desires, according to our government's feelings. We'll vote this in, vote that out. We'll legalize sin if we want to, and nobody cares. Yet we still say, in God we trust. Do you see the illusion? We need to get back to the reality, because the new America no longer believes in Proverbs 14:34 that says righteousness exalts a nation, raises up a nation, righteousness, living right. But sin is a reproach to any people. The new America, they don't believe that anymore. Matter of fact, as I look out over the nation that I love, the nation that you love, the nation that we pray for. I'm talking about defining illusion this morning. This is our introduction to a series that begins next Sunday. When I look out over this new America that I see, you know what? It is full of moral decay, and that isn't an illusion. It may be an illusion to most. Listen to this, these facts here in this new America that we're living in, how it's ever changing. The new normal goes, switches from week to week. It says here that here in our nation, we produce 13,000 pornographic films every year. And most of them are made in San Fernando Valley there in California. Listen to this one now. Over 40 million Americans are regular visitors to porn sites on the internet. And there's an estimated 4.2 internet sites. And DirecTV, just DirecTV alone, take away all the other cable stations, whatever you call them. DirecTV alone, listen carefully, sends 40 million pornographic streams or films into American homes every month. Every month in our nation. 68% of American men from 18 to 30, 42% of young women 18 to 30 view porn at least once a month in our nation, and the same statistics applies to the Church of Jesus Christ. We are living in an illusion, man. And we need to step into the reality of Christendom and what it really means. When you think about the hell that those poor people who make those horrible films and the things that they do, their life, the suffering that they really go through, it's all an illusion. Listen, there's no intimacy there. That's not love. A culture, a people, a nation that cannot distinguish between reality, what is real, and illusion, what is not real, dies. You say, Bill, you're the most depressing person I've ever met. No, I'm really enjoying this, because you know what? I would rather live in the here and now and the reality than walk in some kind of false illusion, thinking that everything is all right in our nation when it's not all right. Listen, I love this country. I thank God for America. I served in the military. I pray for the military every morning. That's my first thing I do. I pray for those that are in the military. And I have specific people also that I know that I pray for there. You know, I look at America and I say, I'm so thankful that we have a strong military. I'm thankful that we have dedicated men and women who give their lives to go and for freedom. Amen. You know, we have 761 military bases around the globe. 761, more than anyone on earth. Matter of fact, you take all the military budgets combined in the world, and we have the greatest military budget of all, of any nation on earth. You know, our military budget, for example, in 2010, the U.S. defense budget was, in 2010, was $700 billion. Yeah, that's our money, you know, taxpayer money. $700 billion. The second biggest budget in the world, talking about those who arm themselves, is China. They're number two. They only spend $65 billion compared to the $700 billion we spend. We just ended the longest war in our history. Since 2003, we have spent $819 billion to fund the war in Iraq. And you know what it's costing you and costing me right now? It's costing taxpayers $365,000 every hour. But see, we don't know about those things. We don't study out. We're just, thank God we have our refrigerator has a little bit of food in it and so forth. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not condemning you if you don't know, but think about it. We spent $25 billion to train the Iraqi army after we left. They're doing a great job, aren't they? Huh? Come on. Most of that money, a lot of that money was given, it was people embezzled it. $25 billion. We're living in illusion, but nobody cares. And now you look at ISIS. I remember the White House saying, oh, they're nothing but a little peewee football team. They're going to do, oh yeah? Yeah. Well, this year we're going to spend $5 billion fighting them, and we'd have no people on the ground. And next year, it's already been requested by President Obama that for $5.3 billion to fight ISIS in 2016. Well, Bill, why are you giving us all that information? Because we are living in illusion. You see, we're Christians first, then we're Americans. Amen? That's right. We're not of this world. This world is passing away. And thank God for our country. Thank God for our military. But we have to wake up and really see what we're in, this mess that we're in. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:18, wisdom is better than weapons of war. Boy, that's a true word. Wisdom. Whose wisdom? Man's? No. God's wisdom. And how we need it today. A culture, a nation, a church, a people that cannot distinguish between reality and illusion. They die. As of January 6, 2015, listen very carefully, the U.S. federal debt hit $18 trillion. Anybody have that kind of money in here? $18 trillion. How much is $18 trillion? I don't even know how many zeros to put on it. You know how much? Listen, if you spent $1 million each day since our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was born, you would have not spent $1 trillion. $1 million a day. Think about that. For 2,000 years. And you would still not spend $1 trillion. Historian Charles Mayer said this about America. He says, America has gone from an empire of production to an empire of consumption. See the illusion. I gotta have. Come on. You know, every Christmas, what do I tell you guys? And I say it in love, and I'm trying to meddle in your life or your business. I say, don't go into debt. Please don't go into debt, because January, you're going to be crying about it. Don't go out there and spend all that money on all those people because of guilt. There's nothing, that Christmas is not about that, is it?
Right.
You know, but you know, what do? Well, we just spend it, and then we say, well, we'll pay for it. Well, that's the way our government's doing. We're living into an illusion, loved one. The average household debt in our nation right now, as of February 2015, the average household in America combined, $884 billion in debt. Think about that, the families of America. The average household debt on a credit card is $15,600 per family. And you know, we've all been suckered into the credit card thing, haven't we? You know, you go to college. What is the first thing happen when your freshman year of college? What do they do? The American Express becomes your best friend. Why? Because they mail you this MasterCard, Visa. Here's yours. You have a $500 credit limit. Just, you know, you're already instantly approved. Just let us know. Or $1,000. Well, what do you do when you're 18 years old and there's $500 in your pocket? How you waste it, man? You know? Come on. And they get in trouble. And then the world gets in trouble. I've got to have this. I've got to have that. Why? Because we live above our means. And the reason that we do that is because the American church is caught up in the illusion of a nation, the nation that we love. You know, article after article that I've been reading, you know what they're saying about the church today? article after article, and it's just heartbreaking to me. They're saying, well, it looks like the salt has lost its savor. They're talking about us. Article after article, they're saying the American church, it looks like the light of the world in America is dimming. Article after article. And yes, we are declining. I know that. Okay? They're saying, well, what happened to the city that sits upon the hill? It looks like they've turned off their lights. I'm going to ask you a question. Are they right? That's a question. Do you want reality or do you want to live in illusion? That's a question all of us, this is serious to me. This is serious to God. Listen, I thank God that most of us, we want to live a good life. Amen. We don't want to go out and do bad things and so forth. And thank God that I walked out in the parking lot. We drive pretty good cars. Are you guys religious this morning? You know, there's a lot of money out there. So thank God we have good cars. And most of us live in pretty good homes or have nice apartments. And I thank God for all of that. And most of us are really pretty good church members. You know, we show up and so forth, maybe 4 hours late, but we're here and so forth. And you know what? We good church members, we have the same impact on the lost world when we were lost than we do now when we're saved. And what impact was that? None. None. The church is not doing what God's called it to do. The Great Commission, listen, America is literally a missionary field. Boy, I'll tell you, if there's ever been one, we're not making an impact. Most Christians today never tell people at all about Jesus Christ. They don't lead people to the Lord. 99% of Christians don't tell anyone about the Lord. Think about that. Well, Bill, we bring them to church, you can tell them. No, you're supposed to tell them. You see the illusion that we're living in. We're not living in that reality. And listen, the problem is it's not that we don't believe in God. We do believe in God. We love the Lord and we hope we love Him with all of our heart. But the true problem is that we have drifted, our nation of churches in America, we have drifted far from God. We've left our first love. Like I said, so many people today in Christianity, they come to church, but they come to church about them. This church meets my needs. This program meets my needs. You know what? We programs are, praise God for them. But we need power, not programs. Do you understand? I remember the days when God delivered the drunk. I remember that. I remember when the demon possessed, and I have seen that. I mean that they were delivered. But today we live in the illusion. We don't live in the reality. When people, I've prayed with kids back when I was first starting out, before I ever was in the ministry, I was in a house church teaching, seeing kids back then 35, 40 years ago, full of drugs. I remember one night, this young boy, handsome young fellow, blonde-headed, blue eyes, he was at the house church, and I'd preach on John 8:32. You shall know the truth will set you free. About an hour after the service, he'd already gone. He came back, knocked on the door, and he says, Bill, I need to ask you a question. I said, sure. He said, you said tonight that Jesus will set me free. I said, no, that's what the Bible teaches, but yes, that's what I said, that Jesus will set you free. He reached to his pocket and he pulled out. I've never seen so many drugs and pills in all my life. He says, man, I'm from a prominent family in this town. And it would bring such disgrace, but not more than that. I can't kick this, man. I can't kick it. And I said, you will tonight. I said, ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. He prayed, asked the Lord to come into his heart. He went. And I said, now go into my bathroom. You flush all those pills down the toilet and you come back out here. Today, he's a prominent doctor in Washington State. You know, Jesus set him free. And you know what? We say, well, we need this program because this program is going to set me free. No, we need the power of God back in the church again because we are living in illusion when we need the reality of what Christianity is really all about. The church in America, what are we doing? We, like the new America, we're resting on the illusions of all of our past glories. The purpose of this summer series is to understand the times that we're living in Christ here, in Christianity, and discern between illusion and reality by asking us a question, ourselves this. Are we really living in the reality of the Christian life? Are we going to step out of illusion and step into the reality that Jesus paid for us to have on the cross? That's what we need to ask ourselves. It says in Habakkuk 3:2, it says, O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, O God, make it known. What was Habakkuk praying for? Listen, Habakkuk, the great man of God, he was looking out on all the hills and all the armies were coming against Israel. And they were going to literally destroy them. And he says, O God, you know what? We've been living like in an illusion of worshiping you and loving you and praising you and all this. But the truth of the matter is we're so far from you. You know what Habakkuk prayed? He says, God, revive us. Come back again. In other words, renew. Renew. We need your renewed involvement in Israel. Would you say that we need God? Let me put it this way. Would you say that we need the Holy Spirit to renew us again? Yes, that's exactly what is so desperately needed. We need to say, Holy Spirit, come back to your church. There's nothing wrong with the programs and so forth. And we create this and create that. We've got so many programs. We don't even know what to do anymore. You say, and then there's still, well, we need more. We need more. We need this. No, listen. Habakkuk prayed, oh God, revive your work. Renew your involvement in Israel. And we need to say the same thing. We have so much man-made resources. Do you know what I'm saying? I look around, dear God, we don't need the illusion of more at this church. We don't need that. You know, say, well, we need to build this and this. Well, why? Where do you find that in God's word? You know, debt and so forth. You know, we say, Bill, we need the sanctuary. Well, we're going to have a sanctuary, but we're going to pay for it in cash. Amen. Listen, if I retire, I don't know that when God is going to say, Bill, you're through, or whatever he does, take me home, I don't know. But I do know this. I told the church board, I said, I want you to put one amendment into the bylaws. And I said, it's this, when I am gone from here, when I'm no longer here, that you, the board must agree to never put the people of Calvary Chapel in debt. Put a burden of debt upon them. You have to see a burning cross in the sky. You have to have a vision of God. You have to be translated into the heavenlies or something. And all of you have to be in agreement. You know, we're a debt-free people here. And we're going to remain a debt-free people. You know what I'm saying? We don't need the illusion of more and more and more. You know, we're going to build our sanctuary out here. And you know what we're going to do? When we build, we're going to pay cash for it. How would you like me to take your tithe or your offering? That is, if you do either one of those. And take that and say, I'm going to have to give 50% or 30% of your offering to the Mr. Bank. Would you like that? No, I'm not giving those people anything. Matter of fact, I like to punish my MasterCard. No, I do. I take my, you know, I say, put everything on it. Everything on it. And then at the end of the month when it comes in, I said, now write a check. Oh, I used your money. You didn't use me. Never mind. Oh, you know, yeah. Listen, no. We need to be praying. We don't need more. You know, I tell you what we need. We should be desperately seeking the greatest power in all the universe, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit. That is what we need. Listen, you know, people think, well, you know, Bill, we need this and this. No, we don't. All we need is the Holy Spirit of God. He needs people that are available. People that'll just say, here am I. Well, I don't have enough education. You don't need enough education. You know, you don't need this. You don't need that. All you need is say, here I am. And God says, good. I can do something with somebody like that. Oh, I'm weak. Oh, God says, oh, good. Give me all the weak people. Give me the dumb ones too. Give them to me. That's what it's all about. We need the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 6:63, he said, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh, our strength, our wisdom profits nothing. It's the Spirit. How we need the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:13 tells us this, that we put to death the deeds of the flesh, meaning sin. How do we put it to death? It says by the Spirit. Not by your strength, not by my strength, not by my might and my wisdom. No, you can't put sin down unless it's by the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, how we desperately need him in the church today. The Bible tells us in John 15:5, Jesus told us, he said, listen, I am the vine, you're the branches. Abide in me and I in you. And he who does that bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. We think we see, well, I'm going to have another program, another this, another that in my life. No, God says, no, listen, you know what we need? We need a church. We need people in the church. And you know, if I could, I'd give every penny I had if we could break this tradition, but it'll never happen. That's why I said I'd give every penny. This morning you said, hurry up, we've got to go to church. But you are the church. This is just a building. Amen. The building is not holy. You're holy. The building is not called. You're called. You're the people of God. You're the ambassadors of Christ. We're the church. And I look and I say, oh, if we could ever get that. This Holy Spirit, Romans 8:15 or 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Jude 20, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. How? By praying in the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you something. We need the power of the Holy Spirit again in this church. We don't want to have the illusion of it. We want to have the reality of it. Where God visits us, where there's a holy fear that's back in the American church again. There's not a fear. People get offended over anything. Listen, you know, we had people leave the church not long ago. You know why they left? They didn't like me. No. That's a given, okay? No, because they were asked not to take up 2 parking places. Now that is a biggie, huh? Oh, listen, we're living in a time of the most selfish period of time ever in the history of the church. And I say, oh God, what do we need? We need to step out of our delusion that we're in. We need to step into the reality of the Christian faith. Again, the Bible says in Psalm 85:6, will you not revive us again? That's my prayer. Will you not revive us again? One more time, Lord, revive us again. And the reason it says is that your people may rejoice in you. Only a believer can be revived. So many of us today, listen, so many of us today in the church, we need to be brought back to life. We flatline, man, and we don't even know we flatline because we're living in illusion. Life is found outside. The life that is found outside, loved one, outside of Jesus, is an illusion. It's not real. You know, I'm going to be talking about many things in the weeks to come. How about this one? The illusion of togetherness. Oh boy, we're one mind, one heart, one spirit, striving together for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are we? No. We have the illusion of it. Why? Well, we're all here. But some of us that are sitting here may not like the person next to you. You're mad at them and so forth. Or you might be married and you walk into the church and your family, you're all smiling and happy and everybody would look at you and say, God, they have a great marriage. Oh, they have a strong marriage. But the truth is, that's just an illusion of your togetherness. And when you get home, there's no love. There's no joy. There's no peace. And there's no Jesus. I'm telling you, we're living in illusion in the church today. And we need to break that. We need to destroy it and get back to the reality of what it really means to be a Christian. The illusion of believing that you're a servant of God. I've served the Lord. How? I show up. Well, what do you do when you show up? I leave. That's not being a servant. We're called a servant of the Lord. No, you know what today, and I say, but you say, I don't know about you, but I like what I'm saying. I'm enjoying this, okay? We are a people in America today, the Christian, we are spectators, not participators. We show up and then we leave. Matt, Bill, I don't like this sermon. Well, loved one, I'm not trying to, if you don't like it, what can I do about it? I'm doing what God tells me to do. How about the illusion of Luke 9:23, when Jesus said one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible? He said, if anyone desires to come after me, you want the Lord, you want me. He says, deny yourself. What? Yes, deny yourself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, I'm going to tell you, you may have that scripture memorized, and there's nothing wrong with that. You may have that on the refrigerator of your home. You know how we put stuff with magnets on there, you know? But the truth is, are we, the American church, are we really denying ourselves? Are we really taking up his cross each and every day? We're going to be talking about that. We're going to talk about how we're going to destroy the illusion and step into the reality. And that's where life is found. That's where power is found. And that's where the Holy Spirit is found. Amen? That's where victory is found, right there. Now, you said, well, Bill, are you trying to say I'm not saved? No, I'm saying you can come to Christ. That's a free gift. But there is a cost to be a disciple. There's a cost. Now, the purpose, again, of this series is to understand, and I'm nearly done, understand the time that we're living in and what we need to do about it, discern those things, and to step out of illusion into reality. Now, are you finally at Psalm 86? Okay, now let's look at verse 1. This prayer of David. This is to me, an incredible prayer. Look what David does. He goes, bow down your ear, O Lord. You know what David is saying? He's saying, God, Father, I need you to get close to me. Can you bow down from where you are in heaven? And would you come into this reality or this illusion that I'm living in? Would you step down and come so close to me, because I need you to be here. I need you to bow down to me, because I can't go there. I need you to come to me. He says, listen and hear me, because I'm poor. I'm needy. Preserve my life. I'm holy. I mean, I'm set apart for you, Lord. I dedicate my life to you. You're my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Are we crying to God all day long? I promise you that the church is not. We have the illusion of prayer. You know, and you know as well as I do, and I'm hurrying. I still have 10 minutes, okay? But I'll finish before then if you'll let me just get going. The fact of the matter is that you know it and I know it. I could say tonight we are having fried chicken. We'd run out of chicken in 10 minutes. If I said tonight we're having a prayer meeting, I'd have a lot of chicken to eat myself. You know what I'm talking about. With the illusion of praying. David said, it's all day, all night. I'm crying now to you. Rejoice of the soul of your servant. For to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. We must be bold in prayer like David. In other words, God, we want reality. We want reality back in our lives again. The real thing. Not some illusion. Not some false thing. And the reason we can pray to God like that is look at verse 5. For you, Lord, are good. Ever since from my first time I stepped into the pulpit publicly, 30 some odd years ago, I have always entered in and said, God is good. God is so good. And there is not a tiny second that God is not doing good to you and good to me. Oh Lord, we want to step away from the illusion. We want to get back to the real thing. God is good, and look what else he is. He is so ready. He's so ready right this minute to forgive. You say, well, Bill, I'm caught in sin. You know what? Go to him. He's so ready to wash you. He's so ready to cleanse you. He's so ready to wipe away every transgression and every trespass and every iniquity and every sin. He's ready because he sent his son to die for you. He says, oh, you're ready to forgive, but more than that, it says, look at it, and abundant in mercy. We need his mercy to touch our deepest need. And the only way for that to happen, loved one, for us to get back to the reality, as it says, for all who call upon him. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Attend the voice of my begging or supplication. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Verse 10, for you are great and you do wondrous things. You alone are God. Will you join in praying with me this summer as we ask God, God, we want to return to reality. We want every illusion broken. 1 John 5:13, again, it says this. It says that we know that we believe in the Son of God, that we know we have eternal life, the reality and not the illusion. Do you know the Lord? I mean, really know the Lord. Not, I'm a church member. There's nothing wrong with that. But a piece of paper or being a member doesn't save you. The Bible says in 1 John 5:12, it says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. See, if you have Jesus, you have the real thing. You have the true reality. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. You only have the illusion of life. Well, Bill, how can that be? Because the Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 1 and following, that you are dead. If you don't know Christ, you're dead, spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. We live in a land that's filled with illusions. A land today that says this. You know what? There are many ways to God. There are many roads to God. Loved one, listen to me. There isn't. There is only one way to God. John 14:6, amen? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. Don't get restless on me, please. He said, no, there's no other way but the narrow way, the narrow road. There is absolutely no other way. The Bible says in 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. We should have an understanding that we may know him who's true and him who is true. His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. We who have the real one should live in the real reality of the Christianity. Amen? We should be the water walkers like Peter. We're not living in the here-ness and the now-ness of God. We're not living in the supernaturalness of God. We're depending on our own strength today to deliver us, our own wisdom to deliver us, when we have everything that we need right here and the power of the Holy One living in our hearts. We need to get back to reality and get away from the illusion. May is over. June is here. Summer will be here before we know it. Calvary Chapel, this summer, we are stepping out of the illusions and we are stepping in to the true realities of the Christian life. A people, a church, a nation that cannot distinguish between reality, what is real, and illusion, what is false, dies. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for these people. I thank you for those, Lord, that have heard this word this morning and will join with me in praying this summer that every stronghold of illusion is broken and that we truly get back to the basics, back to the real thing, the real reality of the Christian life and to our calling. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning, those that have tuned in live, those in the overflow room, those in this chapel, if they have never asked Jesus Christ to come into their heart, I beg you in the name of Christ, I beg you now, just call out to him right there in your chair. All you have to say is, Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me. I want to be yours. You just reach out to him. Reach out to him right now and tell him that. Oh, save me. Just say, save me, Father. Save me right now. Jesus, be my Lord. If you will do that, God will save you. We love you. We praise you. We give you honor in this place called Calvary Fort Worth. Lord, we really and truly want to love you with all of our heart. all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength. We really want to do that. Oh God, break the illusion. Break the illusion and bring revival to this church. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning.